Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the thing is, the world's changed. I've changed, and so I expect that my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am kind of looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying to me now. I do want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple minutes long. You should also know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley. That's Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church, the one in Ontario. So now, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. Today we're in Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. Yesterday we heard about Jesus, Jesus' mother, his brothers. He didn't have time for them. We wondered about family and what family means, because Jesus says very clearly that those who hear the word of his Father and do, those are that those people are his mother and his brothers. So yeah, we wondered about family, but also about perspective, the lens through which we read Scripture and understand Scripture. So that was yesterday. Today we move on with just this little bit, sort of just a little snapshot for us to wonder about. So here it is, Luke chapter 8, 22 through 25. One day Jesus got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out, and while they were sailing, he fell asleep. A windstorm swept up on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in danger. And they went to him and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing!" And he woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased, and there was calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and amazed, and said to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" So, one of the stories of Jesus on the water. We have a few of them. Yeah, we have a couple with storms on the water, and Luke has told a very stripped-down, simple story about a storm, and Jesus calming the storm. So what is that about? I mean, on the face of it, it's pretty clear to me anyway. Jesus basically is amazing. Even the wind and the waves listen to Jesus. Jesus has that kind of relationship with creation. That is to say, I think Luke is telling us Jesus is one with God and therefore can control creation, right? There's the miracle. It would be a miracle if I did it. It'd be a miracle if you did it. But it's not really a miracle that Jesus does it. It identifies Jesus. I mean, it makes sense that God can stop the wind, or bring the wind up, or calm the seas. Of course it makes sense that God could do that. God made them, right? We have the sense of God the creator, creation is part of God. And so, yes, God can do those things. And so here's Jesus doing those very things. And yeah, we call that a miracle. But I think when Luke's telling it, it's not so much a miracle as much as it is meant to identify that Jesus and God are one. Right? You don't read in the story any sense of Jesus having to get ready to do it and focus hard at it. It wasn't like an effort for him. Excuse me. There's no sense that this is an effort for him, not out of the ordinary. This isn't extraordinary. This isn't miraculous to Jesus. This is what he does. Because creation belongs to him, because he is one with God. This is a statement about Jesus' identity, I think. Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water and they obey him? Well, he's God. Now, you can't say that because that's blasphemy. And it's a hard thing for us to say even today because, well, it's not exactly right. It is and it isn't. It hints at being right. It speaks of the essential identity of Jesus, which is God, in well, God with sandals, as John Dominic Cross would say. It is God experiencing humanity, and humanity experiencing God in real time. So this is about Jesus, who is God, but is also my brother. Jesus is our sibling. Jesus is one with us as well. And so rather than try to explain that, because you can see how easy it is to explain it, I'm doing such a good job of it, Luke gives us this picture. As I say, there are a variety of different stories of Jesus on the water and storms and, of course, walking on water, all sorts of things like that. But this one is just so simple, and I just think it's just a little glimpse. Oh, right, Jesus. Yeah, he's one with God. Nature, creation, obeys him. And you can leave it at that and be done. But is that enough? Luke has put this story in here. And in fact, and Jesus has done this thing. Jesus doesn't sort of say, let's go, why we're going to the other side of the lake. It's like, well, we're going to the other side of the lake because we've been invited to so-and-so's place. There's a barbecue. No, it's just, let's do this. It's as if Jesus wants this to happen so that they can learn. Again, so much of our learning is beyond simple understanding. Sometimes our learning is experiential. You can use all the words you want, but they don't really hit home the same way that a story hits home, or for these folks in the boat, an experience. I mean, I would think that if I was there, I would be reflecting on this regularly. You know, that time that Jesus invited us out in the boat and we got hit by a storm. Now, wait a minute. Why would we get by a storm? Jesus and God are one. Then Jesus should have simple, safe passage, for goodness sakes. Why would a storm come up? Oh my God. Is that because when Jesus fell asleep, it's kind of like Jesus wasn't paying attention? If Jesus doesn't pay attention, then all hell breaks loose? Is that the message in this? And then to wander through that and go, oh no, wait a minute. But what if the message is that even when all hell is breaking loose, God is still present and we need not panic? Look at Jesus. Jesus is sleeping. Jesus isn't worried. And when Jesus awakens, Jesus isn't worried or panicked or, oh my God, I had no idea. Okay, let's get this straight. No, Jesus sort of awakens and rebukes the wind. Rebuke always sounds like a harsh word, like he was mad at the wind. But I think you can translate it just as I say, stop the wind. Just Jesus woke up and okay, enough of that. It's funny, as I listen to the story, as I look at the words and as I listen to the story, that word rebuke, it's a great word. You know, Jesus rebuked the wind. But it's funny how powerful that word is. So immediately when I hear rebuke the wind, I see Jesus getting going, you stop. It's very Lord of the Rings, Gandalf, none shall pass kind of thing. That's not necessary. Just stop the wind. But then I carry that rebuke also into the words that he says. You know, master, master, we're perishing. He wakes up, he rebukes the wind and the raging waves. They cease and there's a calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? Now, if I carry the rebuke over, which I often do in my head, Jesus stops the wind and looks at them. It's like, oh, for God's sakes, where is your faith? You think it was going to happen to me? You think it was going to happen to you while you're with me? Just like, seriously, where is your faith? You're like, he's angry at them. But if I replace the word rebuke with stop, or just use rebuke, you know, without an anger element to it, if I imagine that Jesus invited them out onto the water for this very purpose, then as they're terrified for their life, Jesus stops the storm, brings the calm, and looks at them gently and goes, so where is your faith? What is it that you believe in, really? And it's a chance for them to examine their faith, to wonder about it, to wonder about their relationship with Jesus. What assumptions have they made about Jesus? Do they really believe that Jesus and God are one, or are they hanging out because maybe, hopefully, we'll wait and see? Well, here's a moment to see. Now what do you think? How do you like me now? What is your faith? And I think there's something in that for any of us. My faith is great when I'm sitting here talking to you. My faith is great Sunday morning. Oh, good service, feeling great. My faith is great when things are going really well. You know, my bills are paid. People come to me with problems that I can generally seem to help them with. And I feel a value of use, and that's pretty great. But I tell you when my faith is a little more at risk, when I'm in the middle of a storm, when I don't have enough hours in the day to get all the things done that I want to get done, or I can't seem to make the connection I want to make, or there's somebody who needs something of me, and I can't give them what they need. I can't help them, and I'm just so frustrated. Why can't I help this person? Why can't I fix the problem? And I create this whole storm around me about fixing and problems and inadequacy, and why I'm not very good at this and that. And meanwhile, Jesus is just sort of asleep over there in the boat. Meanwhile, God is still present, patiently waiting for me to storm about until I've decided to stop storming. Till I've decided to stop and wait a minute and look around and go, oh, wait a minute, God's here. Right. The God who was with me when everything was going really well continues to be with me when things are falling apart. The God that I confess, that I believe in, that I trust, that I know loves me when things are going well, is also with me when things are not going well. So knowing that I'm loved by God, I know that I will come through this storm, whatever it may be. Putting my trust in that God also means that I can let go of my expectation. I know how I want this storm to resolve, but maybe it won't, but I can give that to God. Maybe I can't fix this thing. Maybe I can't help that person the way that I want to, but oh, there's just God there sitting there in the corner thinking, I'm sorry, Norm, did you think you did this all on your own? It's okay. I got that person. I got a plan. It's going to be fine. I mean, I don't have to do anything. Norm, do you trust me? Oh, yeah, I do. I trust you when things are good. But in the midst of a storm, sometimes I don't. Yeah. There was a popular saying in the last century, that's how old I am, there are no atheists in foxholes, right? There's the you know, those people who profess to not believe in God, and those who did believe in God would smugly say, oh, yeah, but in the middle of battle, you'll be praying, buddy. Yeah, you know that. Things go wrong, you'll be praying. There's no atheists in foxholes. this story makes me wonder whether the opposite is true. That, you know, when we're in the foxholes, when we're in the storms, when we're in the toughest times of our lives, how easily we can begin to doubt our faith, doubt God, doubt our relationship with God, because it seems like Jesus is asleep. Seems like God isn't here right now because the things aren't going well. Because if God was here, there'd be no storm. But this story has just shown me that, of course, there are storms when Jesus is present. Of course, there's storms with God. That's the way the world works. We have calm, we have storm, we have calm, we have storm. We have a lovely sunrise and a beautiful sunset. And in between, there might be a rainstorm. Who knows? There's all of these things that happen. And we move through them, and that's okay. God may control those things. We don't. But God is with us, and our faith will carry us through all of those things. But every now and again, in the midst of the storm, I start to wonder, and I begin to forget a little bit. I don't know about you, but if for me, in the middle of a storm, I will begin to rely on myself. I'm the one who's going to do this. I will row the boat, bail the boat, steer the boat. I will do it all. And I'm going to get us through this. Because apparently I'm doing this myself. I don't notice that Jesus is sleeping there in the boat. I don't notice that God is all the way around me. It's when I stop, think about a story like this, go, wait a minute, God's here. Where is your faith? God asks. Right. You're right. I put my faith away, God. I was busy bailing and rowing and steering, and I forgot that I'm not in this alone. That it's now actually up to me to do everything. I am expected to participate. Where is your faith? Well, my faith is the thing that invites me to participate. Not take over, not run it all myself, not bear it all on my shoulders. But to be part. I wonder if Luke wanted me to think about that. That question, in the midst of storms, where is your faith? I know where my faith is on a Sunday morning after a really good hymn and everything's going well. I know exactly where my faith is, right here in my heart. But in the midst of the storm, sometimes, I forget. It's not Jesus that goes to sleep, it is my faith that goes to sleep. But God is still present, and I can wake that faith up and be reminded, oh, wait a minute, I'm not alone in this. And amazingly, the storm abates. Calm descends. That has been my experience over and over and over again. Every time, I don't know. But repeatedly, that has been my experience. And now I can hear myself preaching, so I'm going to stop. So I want to leave this little story with you and let you wonder about it and see where it's going. Is this just, again, a proof of how amazing Jesus is? Or is this a question about what it is we actually believe and how strong are we in that belief? And I take to heart, I really don't think that Jesus is rebuking them with, where is your faith? I think it's like, okay, so where is your faith? I think that God understands that my faith is stronger some days than other days. And that's okay. That is part of being faithful. But it's riding through, you know, the tough times and not taking my faith for granted in the good times either. But having my faith in the calm and in the storm. Same faith, just different weather. Anyway, I'm going to offer a prayer and we'll get on with our days. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you. Thank you for the storms in my life that invite me to consider my faith. Thank you for the calm in my life that allows me to revel in it. Thank you for the opportunity to wonder and to share and to grow in faith as I realize that I am not alone. Others feel as I do. More than that, others help me see your presence, hear your word, and know your love. We pray in Jesus' name through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, that's enough of me today, but I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Until I get to see you, God bless. God bless you. Please know that God sees you, that God knows you, that God loves you in the storm and in the calm. And more than just loves you, but God's love moves through you into the world in amazing ways. You bring calm to storms that you don't even know about. You do help to change the world. You matter. So God bless you. Thank you for being you, and we'll see you tomorrow.